Audio Service, National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for November 2012. This is issue number 332. Our address for the DX Audio Service is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805. Email address for general inquiries is fvobe, that's F-V-O-B-B-E, at realoldiesradio.com. And my phone number for short calls is 419-228-6223. For subscription questions, please use sales, S-A-L-E-S, at nrcdxas.org. A yearly subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S.-Canadian members is $30. To subscribe or renew, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated. And send them to me at the address that is mentioned, or you can log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using PayPal. If you're on the Internet, you can sign up to EDXN and get your DX Audio Service in MP3 format. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with PayPal. Subscribe only if you're able to download and navigate a website without anyone's assistance. If you're calling my 419-228-6223 number and you get the answering machine, please leave a message. I've had to leave the machine on just about 24/7 because of all the telemarketers, political pollsters, and political parties that have been calling. If I'm in the room and I hear you, I'll pick up, but if I'm not, please leave a message and I'll call you right back. Well, let's turn it right over to Dave Alpert. He's got all the information on what's been going on the AM dial. Here's Dave with the AM switch.
Welcome to the November 2012 edition of AM Switch, Volume 80, Issues 1 through 4. It's going to be a long one, so grab a beverage or two, and we start with some call letter changes. 930 WJBY in Rainbow City, Alabama is now WGAD. 940 KYNO in Fresno, California becomes KFIG, and the KYNO call will be recycled later. 1090 WGOD down in Charlotte, Amalie, Virgin Islands becomes WUVI. I bet the WGOD call sign will be picked up soon by some religious broadcaster. 1130 WSDX, Brazil, Indiana, now WFNF. 1240 WVKZ in Schenectady, New York, takes on the call that once resided in the state capital, WPTR. 1350 WGAD in Gadsden, Alabama, is now WTDR. 1400 WHBS, Moultrie, Georgia, is WHLJ. 1400 KDTA, Delta, Colorado, is now KJYE. 1430 KFIG in Fresno takes the 940 KYNO call. 1510 WWZN Boston becomes WUFC. How many remember the WMEX or even WCOP call on this frequency? Finally, 1530 WJJG, located in Elmhurst, Illinois, becomes WCKG. Let's see who is now on the air. 650 WSRO Ashland, Massachusetts's CP for U4, 1500 watts day and 62 watts night, is on. 950 KRWZ Parker, Colorado's construction permit to change city of license from Denver is on with no change in physical facilities involved. 1090 KTGO Tioga, North Dakota, has applied for a license to cover their CP, which was U1, 1100 watts day and a mighty 6 watts at night. 1150 WHBY Kimberly, Wisconsin's CP for backup transmitter with U1, 83 watts day and night at an alternate site, is on the air. 1310 KMKY Oakland, California, their CP for U4, 5000 watts day and night, is on. 1380 WWMI St. Petersburg, Florida, their CP for U4, 9800 watts day, 6500 at night, is now on the air. 1380 WHEW Franklin, Tennessee, has been granted an STA to resume operations while it contests its license cancellation, We'll have more on that coming up. 1400 KCOW, Alliance, Nebraska. Their CP is now on to adjust antenna feed system and correct coordinates while remaining U1 1,000 watts day and night. 1430 WEEF Highland Park, Illinois has applied for a program test authority on their CP for U4 1600 watts day, 750 watts night, moving their city of license to Deerfield, Illinois, along with the transmitter. Deerfield is next door to Highland Park in the north-northeast suburbs of Chicago. 1490 KLZN, Susanville, California. This new station on the air with U1, 950 watts day and 870 at night. 1550 KZRK, Canyon, Texas. Their application for a silent STA was dismissed, but the transmitter has been repaired and station resumed broadcasting on October 2nd. 1580 KLNQ, Evansville, Wyoming's CP for the new station with U1, 1 kilowatt day and 220 watts night, is on the air. 1600 KNWA, Bellefonte, Arkansas, has applied for a license to cover their CP for U1, 1,000 watts day and 50 at night. And here's an interesting note for 1700 in Miami Springs, Florida. The FCC reconsidered its 2006 denial of the license renewal request of WJCC 1700 Miami Springs and granted the license renewal on October 5th. Stations that moved to the expanded band had to surrender either their original license or their expanded band license on the fifth anniversary of their move. Here, the licensee surrendered the license for WJCC and kept the license for WNMA 1210 in 2006, but then joined a group of 14 such licensees seeking a general waiver of the five-year rule. WJCC requested special temporary authority to broadcast in the interim, and most of the other 14 stations just didn't surrender either license and applied to operate both their stations on STAs. The FCC has decided that WJCC is operating in the public interest and granted the license renewal, but made it clear that this action is simply to preserve the status quo while they continue to mull over the waiver request, which has been pending now for 6.5 years. If I might take a moment of your time to explain something, when a station is ready to put a CP on the air, the FCC will report an application for a license to cover and or program test authority. The license to cover application means the station has completed technical work and it wants the FCC to verify the station's new parameters. Once the commission has done this, the license to cover is granted and the construction permit shows up as on the air in the FCC database and on AM Switch. An application for program test authority allows the station to broadcast with the new parameters even while the FCC is verifying their implementation, and if the FCC finds problems, there may be delays in granting the final license to cover, even though the station is actually broadcasting with some version of the CP parameters. Also, note that the new 33rd edition of the NRC AM log has several stations listed as on the air that I don't believe have been reflected in prior AM switches. KJJI 1190 White Bluff, Arkansas, and KFJL 1400 Center Point, Oregon, both of which are listed as licensed in the online FCC database, and KPSF 1200 Cathedral City, California, which the FCC still lists as a CP using program test authority, but has been heard on the air. KPSF, which will be U4, 5 kilowatts day and 1300 watts night when fully licensed, has temporary authority to broadcast with U4, 2500 watts day and 600 watts night while some kinks are worked out in the antenna system. Grants for new stations, 820 WBKK, Wilton, Minnesota. This CP for a new station with U4, 10,000 watts day and 750 at night, was granted program test authority on September 5th and should be testing soon if it's not already. 910 WLAT, New Britain, Connecticut, was granted CP to U2, 5,000 watts day and 2,800 watts night, reducing nighttime power and moving to three towers rather than four. 9:30 KOGA, Ogallala, Nebraska, was granted an amendment to their CP to U2 2100 watts day and 500 watts night, reducing day power and eliminating directional antenna daytime. The new station on 1100 in Lebanon, Oregon, was granted a CP with U4 3900 watts day and 1500 watts night. A competing application at Tillamook, Oregon, also on 1100, was dismissed. 1240 WTWA, Thompson, Georgia, was granted a CP for U1 600 watts day and night, reducing their power from a kilowatt. And 1400 KRAM in Vernal, Utah, this CP for a new station with U1, 1,000 watts day and night, applied for a license to cover and program test authority on September 12th and should be close to coming on the air. Grants to existing stations, 1260 KWNX, Taylor, Texas, had their CP granted to change their city of license to Elgin, Texas. The site and power are unchanged. 1260 KBSZ, Apache Junction, Arizona, has been granted a CP for U1, 4,500 watts day and 50 watts night. 1280 WNAM, Nina, Menasha, Wisconsin, has been granted CP for U4, 50,000 watts day and 5,000 watts night, replacing a similar CP that expired in June. 1280 KRZE, Albuquerque, New Mexico, has their license renewal granted and reinstated station calls after a tiff with the FCC. Applications from existing stations, 650 WSRO, Ashland, Massachusetts, applies for U4, 1500 watts day and 100 watts night. Their CP for U4, 1500 watts day and 62 watts at night was recently put on the air, so we can sort of call this a reapplication. 710 WZOO, Asheboro, North Carolina, applies to move to 700 with D1, 1,000 watts. 880 KJOZ, Conroe, Texas, corrects previously noted application to U4, not U7, with 5,000 watts day and 1,000 watts night, and city of license change to Friendswood, Texas. 980 WHAW, Lost Creek, West Virginia, applies to move transmitter while remaining U1, 25,000 watts day and 47 watts night. Lost Creek is about 10 miles south of Bridgeport, the site of this year's NRC convention, and the station was barely audible on the radio by people at the convention, so it's doubtful that it's broadcasting with the full 25 kilowatts daytime at the current site. 1070 WCSZ, San Suze, South Carolina, applies to amend its construction permit for U2 50,000 watts day and 1500 watts night. 1190 KQQZ, DeSoto, Missouri, has their CP for U4 25,000 watts day and 650 at night with city of license to Fairview Heights, Illinois, and as previously reported, applied to amend the CP to U4 10,000 watts day and 650 watts night. The amendment had originally specified the city of license would revert back to DeSoto, but KQQZ has now amended the application to clarify it would still involve changing the city of license to Fairview Heights. 1460 WJAK, Jackson, Tennessee, applies to reduce power to U1 800 watts day and 105 watts night to accommodate a proposed higher tower. 1460 WQXM, Bartow, Florida, applies for U5, 10,000 watts day and 155 watts night, previously granted a CP for the same, which expired on October 8th. 1550 KXTO, Reno, Nevada, applies for U1, 2400 watts day and 90 watts at night, diplexing from the KFOY 1060 towers in Reno. 1570 WNSH, Beverly, Massachusetts, applies for U1, 50 kilowatts daytime, 85 watts at night, and to correct their transmitter coordinates. 1580 WVKO, Columbus, Ohio, applies for D3 5,000 watts, moving to the transmitter site of WVSG 820, using four of WVSG's six towers, and dropping nighttime service completely. 1580 KGAL, Lebanon, Oregon, amends its pending application for U4 7,500 watts day and 1,000 watts night to clarify that the coordinates for both the day and night facilities should be corrected. Construction permits canceled. The 550 construction permit in Reno, Nevada for a new station expired September 14th. The station applied for a last-minute amendment to the CP earlier this summer, hoping to diplex from the KPLY 1060 towers. But both KUZZ and KOAC objected, and the FCC turned down the application, citing interference to those stations. The FCC hasn't deleted the CP from its database yet, but it probably will soon. 570 WNAX Yankton, South Dakota, was granted an STA for U1, 5,000 watts a day and 1,250 watts night, while one of the three towers in their nighttime array is replaced. The work was scheduled to be completed on October 19th. 860 KPAM Troutdale, Oregon, applies for an STA for U1, 50,000 watts a day and 3,750 watts night, while failed components in the antenna phasing system are repaired. The station estimates 60 days for the repair. 1010 KXEN St. Louis, Missouri's CP for U4 50,000 watts day and 420 watts night expired August 26th and is deleted. The station's transmitter site is being sold. KXEN intends to file a CP to move to a new site as soon as one is located. It has applied for and received an STA to operate from the WGNU 920 site with U1 350 watts day and 125 watts night, should that become necessary. But, as Artie Bigley confirmed with the KXEN general manager after hearing an item on the STA on Glenn Hauser's World of Radio show, KXEN is still operating with the licensed U4 50,000 watts day and 500 watts night at the existing site. 1110 KGFL, Clinton, Arkansas, granted an STA to operate with reduced power while their transmitter is repaired. 1130 WEAF, Camden, South Carolina, the station had a CP for D1 390 watts on 1120, changing the city of license to St. Stephen, South Carolina. The CP expired September 22nd, but the station has applied for a new CP with identical parameters. 1150 KZNE, College Station, Texas, granted an STA for U1, a kilowatt day, and 125 watts night while the antenna control system is repaired. 1160 WCFO, East Point, Georgia's CP for U5, 50,000 watts day and 138 watts night, expired August the 6th and is now deleted. They remain U4, 50 kilowatts day and 160 watts night. 1320 KSCR, Eugene, Oregon's CP for U1, 600 watts day and 40 watts night, expired August 28th. The station has now applied for a new CP for the same parameters. 1400 KRVZ, Springerville, Arizona's construction permit to move to 1370. Expired August 12th and is now deleted. 1470 WMGG Dunedin, Florida's CP for U2, 750 watts day and 800 at night, with city of license change to Egypt Lake, Florida, expired August 6th. The station has applied for a new CP for U4, 2800 watts day and 800 night, also with the city of license change to Egypt Lake. The 1500 CP for Winchester, Nevada, for a new station, was returned by the licensee on September 11th and was canceled. And we should note that it takes a lot of cash for the consulting work and legal filings to get a CP. So I don't know why a station would let it lapse other than maybe they just changed their mind. Let's look at another expensive thing to do, which is get a special temporary authority permit. 620 KIGS in Hanford, California, has their silent STA granted due to the station owner's death On February 11, 2012, the estate took the station silent July 31st until estate administration is complete and the beneficiary decides what to do with the station. 890 KYWN Meridian, Idaho applies for a silent STA. KYWN went silent September 19th for financial reasons. 930 WFXJ Jacksonville, Florida granted an STA to operate with night pattern at variance from licensed parameters or 1250 watts non-directional pending antenna work. 960 WGRO in Lake City, Florida granted a silent STA and has been silent since June 30th when the antenna site was flooded by Tropical Storm Debbie. 980 WYFN, Nashville, Tennessee, was granted an STA for U2 4,450 watts day and night due to failure of a power amplifying module within their transmitter on August 19th. The replacement part was due to arrive October 12th. And the station plans to resume full power operation soon thereafter. 1080 KWAI Honolulu, Hawaii has a CP to correct its coordinates and antenna pattern, which are incorrect in the current license. To satisfy the CP, it needs to conduct tests to recertify the antenna system, and to do those tests, a total of 14 stations need to go off the air for 6 hours on two consecutive nights. The engineering firm wants to do this on a Saturday and Sunday night, as early in the evening as is practical, they say. The stations are KSSK 590, KHNR 690, KGU 760, KHVH 830, KHCM 880, KIKI 990, KLHT 1040, KWAI 1080, KZOO 1210, KNDI 1270, KKEA 1420, KHRA 1460, KHKA 1500, and KREA 1540. In the meantime, KWAI was granted an STA on September 7th to keep operating at variance from the incorrectly specified license for another 6 months. Those members in Honolulu or in Hawaii expect the mother of all silent periods sometime soon. 1130 WALQ Carville, Alabama granted a silent STA and has been silent since June 25th. The licensee took over the station in a foreclosure and finds it impossible to operate the station profitably. 1230 WENY Elmira, New York was granted an STA to operate with low power. Weenie had been silent on July 28th when a tornado collapsed part of their tower. The station resumed operations at low power on September 21st and will continue to operate that way until repairs are completed. Also on 1230, KVOC Casper, Wyoming granted a silent STA and has been silent since June 1st for a combination of staffing, financial, and technical reasons, as they say making it prohibitively expensive to operate the station. 1240 KRAL, Rollins, Wyoming, was granted a silent STA and has been silent since June 21st due to inability to staff the station on a full-time basis with qualified personnel. Need a job? Seems like there's an opening in Wyoming. 1280 KMFR, Pearsall, Texas, has been granted a silent STA and has been silent since April 29th for financial reasons. 1300 WIBR, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, applies for a silent STA. Their station transmitter was destroyed in a 2008 tropical storm, and the station's new owners are trying to revive it. It started operating in July under an STA for U1, 150 watts day and night, but the temporary transmitter failed, and the station has been silent since August 7th. 1310 KKNS, Corrales, New Mexico, has been granted an STA to operate with approximately 200 watts from a temporary antenna after it lost access to its licensed transmitter site September 30th. 1360 KWDJ Ridgecrest, California has been granted a silent STA and has been silent since November 25th, 2011 when the station's time broker suddenly terminated its programming and removed its equipment from the studio. KWDJ has until November 25th of this year to return to the air. 1380 KOTA, Rapid City, South Dakota, has been granted an STA to broadcast with U1 5,000 watts day and 1,250 watts night while the night pattern is repaired. 1400 WLSB, Copper Hill, Tennessee, has applied for a silent STA and has been silent since September 18th for financial reasons. 1440 KPTO, Pocatello, Idaho's application to extend silent STA has been dismissed. The station informs the FCC it is resuming broadcasting September 26th. 1440 WBLA, Elizabethtown, North Carolina, has been granted a silent STA, and it too has been silent since July 21st for financial reasons. 1460 WPON, Walled Lake, Michigan's application to extend silent STA has been dismissed. The station informed the commission that it resumed broadcasting September 20th. However, they recently applied again for an STA, which was granted for U1 60 watts day and night from a 40-foot mobile antenna system. The station tells the FCC the towers and transmitter building with equipment inside have been torn down by the site landlord without proper notification to licensee. It says it's been operating with these emergency parameters since September 20th. More later on WPON. 1490 WJDJ, Hartsville, South Carolina, has been granted a silent STA and has been silent since the building's roof collapsed June 2nd due to storms and lack of maintenance by landlord, they say. 1550 KZRK, Canyon, Texas, applied for a silent STA. It has been silent since August 30th, while the transmitter's been returned to the manufacturer for repairs again. And just a quick word here, the FCC grants special temporary authority, or STA, for up to 6 months for stations to remain silent, a so-called silent STA, or to operate with powers, antenna pattern, or transmitter site other than specified on their license. Some STAs show up as applications in the online FCC AM query database, but most don't. The tales of woe that stations tell in STA applications are a window into some of the difficulties faced by the more marginal AM stations in the United States, and these days more and more AM stations are marginal operations. Here are some stations going silent. 730 KBQX, Big Spring, Texas. The CP for a new station expired, and it's been deleted. 1260 KIMB, Kimball, Nebraska, applies for a silent STA. It's been silent since October 4th after losing its studio lease. 1310 KKNS, Corrales, New Mexico. This station will lose the lease on its transmitter site September 30th and has requested an STA to operate from a 60-foot electrical metal conduit at 356th Street, Albuquerque, with about 200 watts. Until a new site can be found. 1320 KSDT, Hemet, California, applies to renew its STA, which expired a while ago, saying it's been operating since at least 2004 with reduced power while it tries to develop a permanent solution to long-standing zoning problems, preventing its operation at full power. They say they intend to file for a CP with a permanent solution soon. 1340 WMTE, Manistee, Michigan. We talked about this silent STA item last month, and it is Manistee, Michigan, not Manatee, Florida. 1340 KTSN, Elko, Nevada, applies to extend their silent STA. KTSN has been silent since January 24th of this year, but is still waiting to get the transmitter back from the manufacturer after repairs. 1370 KZSF, San Jose, California, applies to extend its STA for U1, 1,000 watts day and night. Their building housing the transmitters, phasing, and directional antenna monitoring equipment was destroyed in an October 2010 brush fire. Repairs are still incomplete. 1400 KPTO, Pocatello, Idaho, applies for a silent STA and has been silent since October 3rd, while the station's receiver, as in bankruptcy proceeding type, assesses his options. 1410 WMSX, Brockton, Massachusetts, lost its transmitter site and went silent August 8th and has now been granted an STA for U1 250 watts day and 39 watts night from a long wire antenna. The station has identified a new site and will apply for a CP to move there permanently when final leasing issues are resolved. 1450 WBYU, New Orleans, Louisiana, license canceled, calls deleted at licensee's request. 1450 WDNG, Anniston, Alabama, was silent from August 24th for financial reasons, but returned to the air September 21st. WDNG forgot to apply for a silent STA, but did so after the fact. 1460 WPON, Walled Lake, Michigan, now applies for silent STA. After a saga of being on and off, they fell silent September 27th after broadcasting with temporary low-power STA from its licensed transmitter site. The station has lost this site but has a CP to broadcast from a new site and hopes to return to the air soon. 1470 WJPI, Plymouth, North Carolina, license canceled due to the station being silent for 1 year as of April 2nd. The FCC wrote to the station August 16th to inform them of the license being canceled, and the FCC dismissed WJPI's license renewal application on October 3rd. 1470 KDEB, Estes Park, Colorado, was a silent station and recently informed the FCC that it resumed operations September 18th, then went silent again September 20th, telling the FCC it lost the lease on its tower site. 1530 WLWB, New Holstein, Wisconsin, was granted an extension to silent STA until December 21st. 1550 WAXZ, Smyrna, Georgia, has requested a silent STA. It's been silent since September 3rd because of the programming source being unavailable. Maybe they can pick up the WNRC oldies format. 1580 WPJK in Orangeburg, South Carolina, has applied for a silent STA and has been silent since September 2nd, as the licensee, who inherited the station from her late husband, is unable to continue operating the station as the closing on the station's sale has been delayed. Also in silent news, on October 5th, the FCC notified WCER 900, Canton, Ohio, and WSHN 1550, Fremont, Michigan, that the stations had failed to file their license renewals, which were due on June 1st, so their licenses have been canceled, and the stations are to cease operating immediately. As of October 12th, the FCC had not noted any actions taken by these stations to preserve their licenses or to seek authorization to resume broadcasting. This month we start two new subcategories called Do Your Homework and FCC Oops. The FCC noticed that five stations were due to file renewal applications April 1st, and failed to do so. So, on August 27th, the FCC sent each station a letter, certified mail, saying that its license had been canceled and it must cease broadcasting. The station's reactions have varied. Only one station has been reinstated so far, one license. Here's the status on each. 850 WPFD Fairview, Tennessee, filed a late renewal application and then applied for a silent STA, stating that the owner had noticed the station was off the air, and when it inspected the rural transmitter site, he discovered the transmitter was missing. If anyone sees it, let them know. 960 WQLA La Follette, Tennessee, filed an STA application on August 31st with a copy of its license renewal application submitted on March 30th and its canceled check to the FCC. 1280 WKYY Lancaster, Kentucky, eventually filed its renewal application explaining the majority owner of the corporation that owns the license died some time ago and the current ownership doesn't have the paperwork it needs to get right with the FCC. The station received an STA to resume broadcasting on September 14th. 1380 WHEW Franklin, Tennessee, filed its late renewal application, no explanation given, and requested an STA to resume broadcasting. And 1540 WBRY Woodbury, Tennessee, refiled its renewal application, explaining that the fees it paid with the original application weren't accepted by the electronic FCC system because of a prior problem that has since been resolved. It also applied for an STA to resume broadcasting. Under FCC OOPS, 1430 WDIC, Clinko, Virginia, the FCC changed its database to reflect that this station is U1 5,000 watts day and 54 watts night, not D1 5,000 watts day and night. Sean Axelrod has collected these Canadian changes from the CRTC. 580 CFRA Ottawa, Ontario has been granted a CP for U4 50,000 watts day and 30,000 watts night. On that low frequency, it should get out very well. The night pattern is a four-tower inline array shooting straight north, so you members in Europe should have a good shot at that one. 590 CFAR Flin Flon, Manitoba has applied for an FM station at 102.9, but retaining the AM station as a repeater. 610 CHTM Thompson, Manitoba applies for an FM at 102.9, retaining the AM as a repeater. 680 CHFA Edmonton, Alberta has a CP to move to 90.1 and has been operating on 90.1 parallel to the AM station since September 1st. The CBC Esplace Musique station that had been on 90.1 has moved to 101.1, which used to be a nested repeater for CHFA. The original CRTC decision provided that CHFA had to sign off on AM 90 days after the FM came on the air, but some think that since no new FM station actually came on the air, 680 might be able to stay on. 740 CFZN Toronto, Ontario, their application for a nested repeater on 88.1 has been denied, as has 860 CJBC Toronto's application for a nested repeater on 88.1. 1050 CKSB Winnipeg, Manitoba applies to move to 88.1. 1240 CBXX Rainbow Lake, Alberta, which is an LPRT, has applied to move to 101.5. CJAR, the Pass, Manitoba, has applied for an FM station at 102.9, but retaining the AM station as a repeater. 1450 CBWI, Grand Cache, Alberta, this LPRT, applies to move to 92.3 FM. 1460 CBKC, Fort Vermilion, Alberta, this LPRT, applies to move to 105.1. The application for 1480 in Markham, Ontario, for a new station to be on 1480 daytime and 1490 nighttime has been denied. The ghost of CHYR remains undisturbed. 1540 CBXD, Edson, Alberta. This LPRT applies to move to 95.3. 1560 CBKD, High Level, Alberta. This LPRT applies to move to 99.5. 1570 CKMW, Winkler, Manitoba, has a CP to move to 103.7 FM, but now applies to move to 88.9. And just for clarity, the LPRT is Low Power Radio Transmitter, which is what the Canadian government calls AM stations with a power of less than 50 watts. And that is it. Mark Durenberger is waving his arms and shouting, "What about me?" So until next issue, we'll say 73. And don't forget to let us know what's going on. Mark, it's all yours.
National Radio Club.
Thank you, Dave. Hope you're staying warm out there. Comes now the long-threatened state of the stations in Miami, from QAM at 560 to WRHC at 1550. We'll find about 20 stations within 20 miles of downtown. You'll understand we had to pick an arbitrary 20 miles or we'd never get through the list. While there's a lot of Spanish programming in Miami, as expected, there's also a mix of other ethnic, religious, and sports formats. The Miami-Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood radio market has been one of the top 15 in the country for decades. A lot of radio history was made. With the heavy Hispanic population, the market was one of the earliest in the nation to embrace successful Latin formats. Even the top 40 stations have leaned toward Latin artists over the years. Various power levels, as usual, some stations with little nighttime coverage, and a number of heritage call letters. One of the earliest AM radio licensees in Miami was WFAW, owned by the Miami Daily Metropolis. Other heritage call letters in the market that go back many decades include WQAM and WIOD. The granddaddy of them all, of course, was QAM. The call letters reportedly stood for "We Quit at Midnight." The station has claimed to be Florida's first, going on the air in February 1921. However, it was not licensed as WQAM until January 1923. QAM is famous for its heydays in the 1960s under the ownership of Storrs Broadcasting, when it presented a top 40 format and competed vigorously with rival WFUN at 790. These were the WQAM 560 glory years. In 1964, QAM promoted the Beatles heavily prior to their second appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show, which took place in Miami Beach. And now we quote from an article by Alice Brannigan entitled WQAM on the Move. In January of 1921, the Department of Commerce issued a broadcasting license to a new station authorized to operate with 250 watts on 833 kilohertz. It was the southernmost broadcasting station in the U.S. For whatever reasons, within a few brief months, WQAM had cut its power back to 100 watts. In those days, the government was driving stations crazy by constantly reorganizing their frequency assignments and powers. This was the Department of Commerce's inept attempt at dealing with the rapidly expanding service, though regulations governing broadcasting were virtually non-existent. By early 1924, the government relocated WQAM to 1140, but by July they again ordered a move, this time to 1000. By the end of 1924, the station had been told to shift to 1120, only to be sent back to 1140 in 1925. And by that time, shifts aside, WQAM was calling itself the pioneer broadcast station of Florida. Radio stations were not universally pleased with their newly mandated frequency reassignments. During this period of no radio regulation, it was a common practice for stations to ignore federal assignments and simply use their own favorite channels. In November of 25, QAM reportedly jumped to the unauthorized frequency of 1050, using 1,000 watts, though still authorized for 1140 with 100 watts. WQAM was still Miami's only year-round broadcast, because WIOD WMBF shut down during the summer. In the spring of 1927, the newly formed Federal Radio Commission assigned WQAM to 930, permitting the station to operate with 750 watts. In late November, WQAM was shifted to 780. In late 1928, they were moved to 1240. By early 1929, power increased to a kilowatt, and shortly, WQAM shifted to 560. Good grief. Imagine the trouble the engineers had in changing transmitters and antennas with all these moves. Well, in 1932, WQAM's transmitter was moved to the top of the Miami Daily News Building, and in 1938, moved to the water's edge at Biscayne Bay and 14th Street, where a new 224-foot self-supporting Blaw-Knox vertical antenna was installed, and the station's slogan became the Voice of Tropical America. In 1941, WQAM received a permit to increase its daytime power to 5 kilowatts, and this was completed by 1943 with the addition of a new 380-foot-tall self-supporting tower installed on a pier extending out into Biscayne Bay. In 1956, the station was sold to Todd Storrs Mid-Continent Broadcasting Company, later to become known as the Storrs Broadcasting Company. They exploded in the Miami market on what was considered by many to be the best station in the country, not giving an inch to WABC. In the battle with competitor WFUN, it was recalled by QAM jocks that we murdered WFUN. FUN had 2020 news, so QAM had 2020 twin spins. When the Beatles played Jacksonville, FUN rented a bus, so QAM came back with a fleet of buses. Then WFUN countered with a DC-7 prop plane. QAM checkmated with a DC-8 jet to take listeners there. It was that kind of battle, and WQAM nearly always prevailed. Moving on, I keep forgetting that in November it gets darker sooner, so we need to do a pattern change earlier than normal. We're out of time on this side of the cassette, so do the pattern change and meet us on side two for more of the Band Scan.